This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Lucy Dean. In this week's program, the UN's Darfur mission marks International Day for Mine Awareness. And piracy off the Somali coast is on the rise after a five-year lull, the UN crime-fighting body warns. But first, parties to the conflict in Mali must be encouraged to accelerate implementation of a 2015 peace agreement, the new UN peacekeeping chief, Jean-Pierre Lacroix, told the Security Council on Thursday. The deal signed by the government and armed groups sought to end 3 years of instability, including a failed military coup and the seizure of the north by radical Islamists. Deanne Penn reports.
In his first briefing to the council, Mr. Lacroix pointed to recent signs of progress in Mali, such as the installation of interim authorities in the north, an indication of the gradual return of state authority there. However, these gains are fragile, he said, noting that a strategy to reform the security sector, as well as criteria for integrating former combatants into the National Army, have yet to be determined.
This absence of clarity as far as the institutions are concerned is an obstacle on the ground and is not helping to build confidence among the parties. And this situation is leading to splintering on the security and political fronts and making things more difficult. Therefore, we must more than ever continue to vigorously promote the political role and support the peace process.
A UN mission is supporting the political process and stabilization efforts in Mali, in addition to carrying out certain security-related tasks. Known by the French acronym MINUSMA, it operates under what Mr. Lacroix described as difficult conditions. Al-Qaeda and Daesh have made incursions in the Sahel, and terrorist attacks are becoming more sophisticated. French forces fighting the insurgency lost a colleague yesterday. François Delattre is the country's ambassador to the UN.
It is urgent
that the parties in Mali fully implement the peace agreement. The time lost by the Mali signatories was gained by the terrorist groups. The expansion of terrorist attacks in the center of Mali is an illustration of that. And inversely, the redeployment of the state presence in the north, as provided for the peace agreement, will provide hope for the people. The implementation of the peace agreement would show to everyone, and especially to the unemployed young people in the north, that the path of terrorism and drug trafficking is an impasse.
Mali and four other Sahelian countries have united to fight terrorism, transnational organized crime, and illegal immigration. Abdoulaye Diop is Mali's foreign affairs minister.
Mali, in its capacity as current president of the G5 Sahel, is coordinating the process which is to result in establishing this force as quickly as possible. Its strategic concept will be considered next week on the 13th of April by the Peace and Security Council of the African Union, and they will in turn submit that for the approval of this august body.
Mr. Diop paid tribute to the fallen French soldier and to all victims of the crisis in Mali, civilians and soldiers, Malians and foreigners. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
Unexploded ordnance and other remnants of war have killed more than 220 civilians in the Darfur region of Sudan since 2005. They also threaten the work of peacekeepers delivering humanitarian aid to scores of people displaced by conflict. The Ordnance Disposal Office at the African Union United Nations Mission in Darfur, UNAMID, has been locating and destroying these hazards, as well as educating people about the danger they pose. From El Fasher, Darfur, Adam Ahmed of UNAMID Radio prepared this report read by Jumbe Omari Jumbe.
Those are the voices of a Darfur cultural group dedicated to spreading mine awareness in the region, singing at the ceremony to mark the International Mine Awareness Day, which this year coincides with the 20th anniversary since the establishment of the United Nations Mine Action Services in 1997. Shaza Abdulmonem Rajab is a staff of UNAMID's Ordnance Disposal Office.
Since the UNAMID Ordnance Disposal Office in Darfur was set up in 2005, It has recorded 440 cases of deaths and injuries caused by unexploded ordnances. The cases include 227 remnants of war ammunitions. This cannot be the accurate figure because of the inability of the Ordnance Disposal Office to access all sites due to restrictions and ongoing hostilities.
Each year in Darfur, unexploded ordnances and remnants of war in general continue to cause death and injuries to hundreds of Darfuri people. As recently as last month, 8 farmers received serious injuries when they stepped on ammunition left behind while on their way to their farms. Muhammad Awad is another staff of UNAMID's Ordnance Disposal Office. He says had it not for his office, the casualty figures would have been even higher.
عندي إحصائية من 2012 مما بدأ المكتب للأنشطة بتاعته هنا في دارفور.
Statistics from 2012 shows that we have destroyed more than 12,000 unexploded ordnances in Darfur. It is frightening when you think that these figures are only from the areas that we were able to reach.
To illustrate the dangers of the war remnants objects, including mines and exploded ordnances and ammunitions, the head of UNAMID's Ordnance Disposal Office, Jeffrey McDowell, said even after the peace agreement, the ordinary people are still not in peace because of the dangers that loom around them. From Darfur, this is Jumbe Omari Jumbe of UNAMID Radio.
Recent attacks on commercial vessels off Somalia indicate that the issue of piracy has never gone away, despite a 5-year lull in activity. The warning comes from the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, after 3 ships were hijacked or ambushed over the past month. Alan Cole heads UNODC's Maritime Crime Program, which is based in Nairobi, Kenya. Deanne Penn asked him what was behind the recent hijackings on the high seas.
Well, we suspect that these gangs have always been in place around Somalia, although they've been employed on other sorts of maritime crime and also fishing activity. But recently, it seems that vessels have put themselves in a position where they've been much easier to take than they would have been in the past. And this could be because vessel owners have dropped their guard because it has been such a long time since the last attacks. And they felt that it was now safe to go closer to Somalia, slower in daylight and on their own. And that has made them vulnerable to being taken.
And now you mentioned that these recent attacks follow a 5-year relatively silent period. What was responsible for there being fewer attacks during that time?
Well, there were 3 main things we believe that suppressed piracy for that 5-year period. Firstly, that the vessels followed good management practice from the International Maritime Organization and made themselves more difficult to take. Secondly, that there was a lot of use of private security by vessels, which made them more difficult to take. And finally, that the world's navies got involved in extensive naval operations in the Indian Ocean, and a large number of Somali pirates were captured. And we were part of that effort in that we ensured that once captured, they were tried, prosecuted, and if convicted, sent to prison.
And as the head of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime's Maritime Crime Program, is there any particular message that your office or UNODC has for shipping companies?
Well, UNODC's position is that these gangs remain in place around Somalia. There are still large parts of the Somali coast which are beyond the reach of Somali law enforcement authorities. And vessels should follow the best management practices of the International Maritime Organization. And make sure they don't put themselves at unnecessary risk of being taken, because these cases take a long time to resolve and cause great misery to those who are held hostage.
Mr. Cole, thank you very much for speaking to us. Is there anything further you think our listeners should know about the issue of piracy off Somalia or of the work that your office is doing?
I think only to say that UNODC's Global Maritime Crime Program is tackling maritime crime all around the world, not just off Somalia in the case of piracy, but we're also active in Southeast Asia, South Asia and West Africa, and dealing with drugs trafficking, migrant smuggling, movement of firearms and terrorist financing activities and so on. So this is part of a wider global picture of increasing maritime crime.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Lucy Dean.